All right, we'll say good morning. So today's daf is Samech Hey. So I understand that you stopped on the top of Samech Hey, so we're going to pick up Emirat Hashem 2, 4, 6, 7 lines down from the top on Samech Hey Amud Aleph Tnan. So we'll say again, just to orient ourselves a little bit, we are in the middle of discussing the machlokis between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Remember again, the Mishnah spoke about the idea that if something happened to one of the two Seirim, whether it be the Seir La'azaz or the Seir La'Hashem. Again, so the classic cases in terms of what happens is, usually the Seir La'Hashem, it would mean, let's say, the blood spilled, the Seir La'Azazel died. So the Mishnah speaks about the process of appointing another, or I should say, designating, thank you, another set of animals to go through another hagrala process, another lottery process, to identify to replace the animal that's been lost. But of course, the shaila comes up is then you're going to have an extra animal. So what do you do with the? So for illustration purposes. So let's say again, I have my two seirim, and the blood from my seir LaHashem spills prior to the blood application. So now I have to go back, designate another two animals, go ahead and choose my seir LaHashem. But of course, again with my seir LaHashem, I now have another seir LaAzazel as well. So the shaila comes up: which animal am I going to use for the Azazel service? And ultimately, what happens with the other one? So the Mishnah already told me what happens with the other one. Mm-hmm. What happens with the other one? It's yira achi yistav. You allow it to graze until it develops a mum. Once it develops a mum, you sell it off. And ultimately, its money goes into the... We know in general in these kind of cases, monies like this go to which fund? Which fund? Ketzam Izbeach. Good. Extra carbon fund. Who said that? Michael Shkodach, right? Good. That's not usually the official title, but official name of the fund. But right, Ketzam Mizbeach, which is that fund. It's the extra carbon fund. Remember, we never want the Mizbeach to be dormant. So we essentially have it's effectively a shlamim. So a fund for shlamim, and that goes to make sure that the Mizbeach is ever dormant. Although I've often wondered, and on a topic for today, I often wondered if actually that fund was ever used, because it's hard to imagine that the Mizbeach would ever be dormant. If you just think about it. It's one Mizbeach serving the entire Jewish population. But okay, whatever it is. If it was dormant, that's where it would go. So the Shaila now is, which is considered to be the extra animal. So we have a Machlokis, Rav, and Rav Yochanan. So on Samach, Dalet, Amud Aleph, this was on yesterday's daf. So Rav's position was, Sheni Shebezug Rishon Yikrav, Sheni Shebezug Sheni Yira. So according to Rav holds that you use the remaining animal from the first pair. So, for example, in our illustration, the Seir La'Azazel would be the Seir La'Azazel from the first pair, and the extra Seir La'Azazel from the second pair would ultimately graze until it would develop a mum, and then it would be sold off. Rabbi Yochanan says just the opposite. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's the Seir La'Azazel from the first pair that's sent out to graze. And the Seir La'Azazel from the second pair is the one that's actually utilized in the Azazel service. What is at the root of their machlokas? The root of their machlokas? Nitchin. Excellent. Bali chai nitchin or enon nitchin. I'm just reviewing this way. If anybody didn't. So again, the fundamental machlokas is, in this kind of case, bali chai nitchin. What does this mean? Now, here's what's clear, is that at some point in time, the animal from the first pair, let's call it the Seir La'Azazel from the first pair, was set aside for non-use. Why was it set aside for non-use? Because it did not have an accompanying Seir La'Hashem. So the question is, does that Nidcha status go away with the arrival of the second Seir La'Hashem? Or do we say that once it's been Nidcha, it's nidcha. So that seems to be the fundamental machlokes in Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Rav holds that the Seir La'Azazel is only nidcha as long as there's no Seir La'Hashem. But once you have Seir La'Hashem number two, then Seir La'Azazel number one once again becomes fit for service and therefore can be used. You have a second Seir La'Azazel as well. Okay, Yira, it goes out to pasture. Rabbi Yochanan seems to hold that no, once it's nidcha, once it's set aside for non-use, then what? Then Lemaisa, again, it cannot be used again. Therefore, even once you find go ahead and establish your second Seir La'Hashem, that first Seir La'Azazel is always set aside for non-use, and therefore, again, you will use the second Seir La'Azazel as the Seir La'Azazel, and the first one is sent out to pasture. So now the Gemara is bringing multiple rayas, trying to bring rayas for the different opinions. Let's pick up Tanan. Rabbi Huda says, again, Samech Hei Amud Aleph, 2, 4, 6, 7 lines down from the top. So Tanan, our Mishnah taught, Rabbi Huda says, Tomos. So also remember again, Rabbi Yehuda was the one in the Mishnah who said that the leftover animal is left to die. Remember, here is what we know. We know that if you have a situation, and we'll discuss this later on, the Mishnah said that if you have a chatos situation, so let's say I have to bring a carbon chatos, I committed a particular aveira that if done intentionally, would carry with it a chi of misa, but I only did it b'shogeg, therefore I'm going to bring a carbon chatos. What happens? I lose my chatos. I designate another animal in its stead. I offer up that animal, and then what happens? I find my first chatos. What's the halacha in that situation? We say this is one of the circumstances where you would actually they lock the animal up in a pen and it dies of starvation. That's how we deal with a chatos whose owners ultimately have achieved kapara through another animal. However, that only applies to a chatos hayachid. It doesn't apply to a chatos hatzibur. That's why in the Mishnah, that's not how we deal with, let's say, the additional seir la'azazel. We send it out to graze. Rabbi Huda, however, is of the opinion that no, we would still set aside an extra communal chatos for it to die as well. So, Rabbi Domer Tomos. So the Gemara says, Bishlam Rabbi Yochanan, this works well according to Rabbi Yochanan. Again, also remember, it's just important to keep in mind, Rabbi Yochanan holds what? Rabbi Yochanan holds that you use the Seir La'azazel from the second pair. And you understand, when I say Seir La'azazel, that's just the illustration I'm using, but it doesn't really matter which one. Rabbi Yochanan says you use the fully intact second pair, and the leftover animal from the first pair is the one that's sent out to graze. So this statement makes sense according to Rabbi Yochanan. Da'amar sheni shebezug rishon yireh. Because who says that according to Yochanan, he holds that the leftover animal from the first pair is the one that is sent out to pasture. The Rabbi Yehuda Yamos, because we'll say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, what happens then with that first animal? According to Rabbi Yehuda, we don't let it out to pasture. Instead, we just have it die. We lock it up and it starves. Miskaper b'sheni shepazuk sheni. It's not a problem. Why? Because remember, where does kapara come from? Kapara comes from the second animal of the second pair. Ela l'rav. But according to Rav, who says that it is the second animal of the second pair that is sent out to pasture, and according to Rabbi Yehuda Yamos, Rabbi Yehuda b'mai mechaper, if that animal is put to death, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, where does kapara come from? Look at Rashi for just a moment. According to Rav, who holds that we use the seir la'azazel of the second pair is the one that's ultimately sent out to pasture. According to Rabbi Yehuda, then that would be the animal that would be killed. But my mechaper, Rashi says, listen to this interesting point. Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to the idea that ba'alei chayim nidchin. Ba'alei chayim nidchin means what? That once an animal has been set aside for non-use because of certain circumstances, even if those circumstances change, the animal is still what? Set aside for non-use. So I will say, watch this. So Rabbi Yehuda holds ba'alei chayim nidchin. Therefore, let's say when this blood of the Seir LaHashem spills, now the Seir LaZazel is nidchin. You can't use it. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, even when you set aside a second pair, that first animal is still nidchin. So the Gemara asks, in Rav's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, what animal are you going to use? Because remember, in Rav's model, which animal do you use for the Seir LaZazel? Number one, the first Seir LaZazel. The second Seir LaZazel is sent out to pasture. So how does Rav reconcile the Shita with Rabbi Yehuda? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, what can't you use? You can't use the first one. Why? Because Ba'alei Chayim Nidchin. And Rabbi Yehuda says the second one dies. So in Rav, according to Rabbi Yehuda, first one's not usable. Second one dies. Where's the Seir La'azazel?
Why does it matter, Yira or Yamos?
I'm sorry?
Why is this only in Rabbi Yehuda? Why is this question only in Rabbi Yehuda?
How do you know he says Nidchin? Why Yira
now? Because we established that on yesterday's daf, that he holds Nidchin. Why does it matter?
We're saying this all in the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who says Yamos.
Correct.
Right? If we said Yira, what's the difference? According to Rabbi Yehuda, you still can't
understand. No, there's no difference. Rabbi Yehuda is the last opinion in the Mishnah. We're just trying to reconcile the Machlokis, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yehuda. That's what we're trying to do. We understand that Rav and Rabbi Yehuda are just coming to interpret the case. They're not coming to take a stand in the Mishnah. Remember, the Mishnah deals with a particular case of where one of the animals died. And so the Mishnah says that the leftover animal, goes out to pasture. Rabbi Yehuda says it dies. So the case that you set up has to work according to the Tanakhama and has to work according to Rabbi Yehuda. In Rabbi Yochanan's version of the case, you can understand Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara is just asking, according to Rav, how would you understand Rabbi Yehuda? To which the Gemara says, Mi Savris Rabbi Yehuda Ashini Shebezug Shenikoi. Do you think that Rabbi Yehuda is referring to the second animal of the second pair? Rabbi Yehuda Ashini Shebezug Rishon Koi. To which the Gemara answers, which would have seemed to have been the obvious answer from the beginning, that you'd have to say, according to Rav, that Rabbi Yehuda is actually referring to the second animal of the first pair. Okay, so meaning that according to Rav, it could very well be that Lemaisa again. Here, if you look, I will say at Rashi, Misarves Asheni Shebezug Rishon Koi, Ubitarti Plei Kideprushes Leil. I will say, so what you'd have to say is, according to Rav, listen to this very carefully. According to Rav, Rabbi Yehuda argues on the Rabbanon on two counts. Number one, he argues that we don't set the animal out to pasture, but we let the animal die. And number two, he argues on Ba'alei Chayim Nitchin or not. That it could very well be, according to Rav, Rabbi Yehuda does not hold Ba'alei Chayim Nitchin, and therefore Lemaisa, again, the animal that they're referring to could actually be the first animal. Okay, so says the Gemara. V'ika de Kamosiv Achi. And others have the following interpretation, or I should say others answer this up in the following way. So we'll say this is just another version of the previous discussion. Vika de Kamosavaki, the old Amar Rabbi Yehuda also said, Nishbach Hadam Yamos Hamishtaleach, Meis Hamishtaleach Yishbach Hadam. What Rabbi said, this is just quoting from the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah that if the blood spilled, so the Mishtaleach, the Mishnah is put to death. Meis HaMishtaleach, or if the Mishtaleach dies, Yishpach HaDam, the dam is spilled out. Bishlama l'Rav, so according to Rav, Reisha Pligi Bechatos Tzibor, V'Seifa Pligi Beba'alei Chayim. So we'll say, this is very interesting in the following. Remember that the way the Mishnah reads, which is an interesting verbiage as well, that the last part of the Mishnah reads, V'od. Now, the old, so remember, again, first the Mishnah brings down the case of where one of the animals dies, and then the Gemara discusses that the remaining animal is put out to pasture according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's put to death, and then the old. And furthermore, Rabbi Yehuda said that if the blood spills, the Mishtaleach dies, it's put to death, and if the Mishtaleach dies, the blood is spilled out. So the Gemara tries to understand, what does the old mean? So the old seems to indicate that the Mishnah is introducing another machlokis over here. So the Gemara says, according to Rav, it makes sense. Why? Reisha pligi bechatos tzibor. Because in the first part of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon are arguing what you do with a leftover chatos tzibor. According to the Rabbanon, you just put it out to pasture. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to let it die. V'seifa pligi beba'alei chayim. And the Seifa is arguing with what? Ba'alei chayim what? Ba'alei chayim nitchim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, when Rabbi Yehuda says, L'maisa, that if the blood spills, the Mishtaleach has to die, what is Rabbi Yehuda saying? That once that blood spills, and that Mishtaleach is not usable right now, even though you could tell that Mishtaleach can become usable, how?
By bringing in
another Seal to Hashem. Once Rabbi Yehuda says, once it's Nitche, it's Nitche. But the Rabbanon say no. The Rabbanon say it's not true. And Rabbanon in this case would really be reflected. Right. The Rabbanon would say it's not true that once you bring your other Seal to Hashem, so the Seal Mishtaleach once again becomes usable. El Rabbi Yochanan my Va'od. But according to Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Osai, what does Va'od come to teach us? Rashi says, El Rabbi Yochanan my Va'od. Ha Rabbanon namri amri rishon yitche. Seal Rabbi Osai, in Shitas Rabbi Yochanan, the Rabbanon also agreed that what? That Ba'alei Chayim nitchim. If that's the case, then why does the Mishnah have to use the word va'od? Why? What's the kasha? Va'od Rabosai seems to indicate what? They were introducing a new machlokes. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the Rabbanon already subscribed to the idea of Ba'alei Chayim Nitchin. They agree with Rabbi Yochanan. Remember, let's say, here's what it comes down to. According to Rav, there are two points of contention between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon. What are the two points of contention? Number one, what do you do with the chatos yochid shemesa? That's number one. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it dies. According to Rabbanon, it's put out the pasture. And machlokis number two is what? Ba'alei chayim nitchin o enon nitchin. Right? Rabbi Yehuda holds nitchin. Rabbanon holds enon nitchin. According to Rabbi Yochanan, there's really only one machlokas. And the machlokes is what? The machlokes is only chatos yochid mesa o eino mesa. But everybody agrees that ba'alei chayim nitchin. In which case, why does the Mishnah say va'od like it's introducing a new machlokes, when in reality it's only introducing, it's another example of the same machlokes? To which the Gemara says, kasha. It's a good question. Okay, my turn. Va'od amar Rabbi Yehuda, nishpach adam yamos ha-mishtaleach. So remember, furthermore, Rabbi Yehuda said that if the blood of the Sfila Hashem spills, so the mishtaleach is put to death. So I understand the case of where the blood spills, that the mishtaleach ultimately is put to death. Why? The akati lo is avid mitzvase. Because Rabbi Yehuda, again, remember, when we say nishbach adam, what does nishbach adam mean? Nishbach adam means it spilled when? It spilled before you had an opportunity to go ahead and do the blood applications. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, if the blood first spills, I understand why you have to replace the mishtaleach. Why? Because you have not yet done the mitzvah with the blood. You have not yet done anything. Ela mesa mishtaleach anai yishbach adam. But if the mishtaleach died, why do you have to spill out the blood? Ha is avilei mitzvah. Remember, we had this before, and Rashi points this out as well. At what point in time do you fulfill the mitzvah of the mishtaleach? What is it? Remember, it's not when it's sent out. The mitzvah of the mishtaleach is when? Once it's designated as the mishtaleach. That's the ikar mitzvah of the sirim mishtaleach la'azazel. As the idea is you have to have a lottery, and one of the sirim has to be designated as this, as the mishtaleach. In fact, if you take a look at Rashi, Ela Mesa Mishtaleach, Rashi says, So we actually had this earlier, that the Iker Mitzvah of the Sir Mishtaleach is to establish its identity through a lottery. So therefore, the Gemara says something very interesting. I understand if the blood spills that the mishtaleach has to be put to death. Why? Again, this is put to death in Rabbi Yehuda's version. Also put out the pasture in the Rabbanan's version. But I understand why if the blood spills, you have to replace the mishtaleach as well. You have to do a whole new process. Why? Because if the blood has not yet been applied, then lemaise, again, nothing's happened. But if the mishtaleach died, right, but the blood is still there, why do you have to do anything different? After all, what the Gemara is suggesting over here, we'll say, if the mishtaleach died, so you should be okay. Why? Because the ikar mitzvah of the mishtaleach is to establish its identity through the lottery. What the Gemara is suggesting, once that's done, even if the mishtaleach dies before you had an opportunity to send it out, the havamin is what? You shouldn't have to replace it at all. Go forward with the blood applications and Shalom Yisrael. Omri debi Rabbi Yana, no. Because they said in the Yeshiva Rabbi Yana, the following Omikron, the Pasuk says, Ya'amod chai, lifnei Hashem, lishalach oso lazazel hamidbar. So the Gemara says, Ya'amod chai, lifnei Hashem. It must remain standing before God. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, Admasai, yezokok lios chai. It should stand before God to atone. Ad masai yihye zyehe zokok lios chai. How long does the seir lazazel have to be living for? Ad sha'as matan damim shel chavero. It must be alive until the blood application of its fellow. Now we'll say, where does the Gemara get that from? Lechaper. Ya'amod chai lifnei Hashem lechaper. So such what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that the Seir Lahazazel must be living until when? Until Kapara is affected. When is real Kapara affected? When does real Kapara take place? The blood applications. So both sides, this is very interesting on two levels. So first of all, what we're learning out is that as long as the Seir Lahazazel is alive at the time of Matan Damim, at the time of the blood applications, that's enough. So meaning, interestingly enough, if the Seir Lahazazel does die right after the blood applications, you need not replace the Seir Lazazel, even though, of course, it's not what? It's not going to go Lazazel. Yeah. Which, of course, is very interesting because we'll see how that stims.
What do you do with it?
What do you do with the service?
If it dies.
What do you do with the carcass?
Yeah.
You burn it. Excuse me. You just dispose of it. just dispose of it. So we'll say, so we'll get, actually, this is going to be the next Mishnah. We're going to talk about this in our next Mishnah, be tomorrow's daf. But it's, so the Gemara is suggesting over here is that Lemais, again, the case of where the Mishtaleach dies and it has to be replaced is the case of the Mishtaleach that dies before the blood service. Where do we get that from? Ya'amot Chayef Ne'ashim, it must be living before God, Lechaper, until Kapara takes place. It's not awesome. We learned there, the Mishnah states there, B'nei Ha'ir, Bosei, this is actually very exciting. And you get it, this is going to be a review of Shkalim. Review of Shkalim. Many of you have been asking me to set up a review on Shkalim. So I didn't get to do it yet, but at least we have a partial review over here. Tanan Hasim, we learned there. See, a recording over here from, actually, it's recorded twice. We actually, the Mishnah Shas quotes it from the El Memam days. And then come on, so fine, so we'll see this. So the Gemara says, fine, Tanan Hasim. B'nei Ha'ir, Shashalchu es Shikleihen. So B'nei Ha'ir, members of the city sent their half shekels. So also, remember we had these cases where although they used to set up collection boxes in Yerushalayim itself, but people from faraway lands would also take their half shekel to Yerushalayim. So what would they do? They would appoint an emissary. They would set up a collection point in a particular city, and then the agents would go in and take all of the half shekels to Yerushalayim. So listen to this case. So B'nei Ha'ir, members of a city sent their half shekel with an emissary, with an agent, B'nignivu, Osha Avdu. And what happens? And the shkalim were stolen or were lost in transit. Stolen or lost in transit. So what happens? So the Gemara says, Im Nitrama Truma. So we'll say this is very interesting. So what you have to do with the shkalim, or I should say, what the process is, depends on when the shkalim were lost. If the shkalim were lost after they already took the first batch of half shekels from the temple collection boxes to purchase karbanos yibum, I will say it's a very important point over here. Lemaisa, when remember the whole idea of half shekel is what? That everyone has a portion in communal offerings. But remember, I have my portion in communal offerings even before my money reaches the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because the understanding is the same way that when we take the half shekel, so it's not just the pshat that the individual who contributed that half shekel, that he has a portion. Everybody has a portion. So in essence, the way it works in half shekel is, as long as you contribute, everyone is considered to have a share in every single half shekel. So in other words, if let's say again, let's say that the agent is in transit, and by the time he lost the shekelim, or the shekelim were stolen, they already took out the first batch of half shekels from the collection boxes. Therefore, what? In nitshma truma, nishbo'in legizbarin. So we'll say, at that point in time, so that means if there was already a withdrawal from the Beis HaMikdash collection boxes for the half shekelim, for communal offerings, then when the agent loses the money, who is he really responsible to? He's responsible to the Beis HaMikdash. Because once the first withdrawal has already been made, that means all of the half shekelim, even those in transit, are considered to be like the property of the Beis HaMikdash. So I'll say, remember, this shaliach has to take a shavuah. Why does he have to take a shavuah? Because we have to make sure that he did not pocket this money for himself. He's claiming that it was stolen. And again, I'll say, remember, a claim, let's say for argument's sake, he's a shomer chinam. So if he's an unpaid custodian, right, going back to our Shomer Chinam days, right? If he's an unpaid custodian, so remember, he's pater for Gneva Va'aveda. He just has to, what? He has to take a shvu, he has to take an oath that he has not misappropriated the money. So the Gemara says, who does he take an oath to? He takes an oath to the Beis HaMikdash. V'imlav, but however, again, if the money's in transit and they have not yet made the first withdrawal from the Beis HaMikdash, then what? Nishbo'in Livnei Ha'ir. Then on both sides, remember, he's responsible to the townspeople. He has to take an oath to the townspeople. And here's the other nafkamina, ubnei ha'ir shoklin achirim tachtein. And I will say, here's the other chap. The chap is like this: if he lost the money after the first withdrawal was already made, then who bears the loss? The Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because it was already like their money. However, again, if he lost the money prior to the first withdrawal, then who bears the loss? The townspeople, and they have to contribute again. So they have to contribute another half shekel. Listen to this case. Nimtzu'u. Oshech Zirum Haganovim. So we'll say, let's say again they were lost and then they were found, or will say, you know, out of all the things to rob, right? Out of all the things to rob, like, I might not understand the Yitzhara for robbing something, but okay, out of all the things to rob, you know, stick up the local Wachovia, you know, but don't do this. I'm sorry, tshuva. I see the tshuva. He did tshuva, so he realized it's really not a good idea to rob the Beis HaMikdash. So he went ahead. So let's say the money was found, or he returned the money. So what happens? Elu v'elu shik shkalim. So now here's the interesting kasha. So let's say in case number two, remember this works better in case number two. So in case number two, where let's say again, the shomer lost the money. Let's go with lost. Lost the money prior to the first withdrawal in the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore what? Who's responsible over here? The townspeople. So the townspeople now recontributed another half shekel. Contribute second, another half shekel. Then what happens? Their first half shekel is found. So what's the halacha? Elu v'elu shkalim. Both the ones that they contributed the second time around, as well as the first ones that they found, both have the status of half shekel. So you say to yourself, wonderful, what am I going to do? Let's put it in the bank, right? It's I'm going to credit me for next year. The one says, no. They ain't olin lahen l'shana haba. They're both half shekels, but here's the difference. They don't work to satisfy next year's debt. Rashi says, ve'im olim lahen, it's the first wide line in Rashi on the bottom, le'baylim u'tzvichem lishkol shana haba. So we'll say, both shkalim have the status of half shekel, but, so one of them counts for this year's half shekel, the other one does not count towards next year's half shekel. Where does it go to? Again, it goes to Bedek Abayis, it goes to Keitzam Izbeach. Rabbi Huda says no. Olin lahen l'shana haba. Rabbi Huda says no. In fact, that additional half shekel, meaning because now you've contributed two half shekels, that additional half shekel can be credited towards next year's obligation.
So the Gemara says,
correct. My time is Rabbi Huda. What's Rabbi Huda's logic? Amar Rava Kasar Rabbi Huda, chovos shal shana zu, krevos l'shana haba. What's Rabbi Huda's logic? Rabbi Huda's logic is literally chovos shal shana zu. Obligations of this year can be brought or can be credited towards next year as well. Look at Rashi. Chovos shal shana zu. Shehufreshu l'chovos l'chovas shana zu. So essentially Rabbi Huda says like this, even though the half shekel that you found was originally intended for what? To satisfy this year's debt. Since you satisfy this year's debt with another coin, you could use this year's coin to satisfy next year's obligation as well. Okay, so we'll say it doesn't seem to be any kind of significantly deep svarha. Just Rabbi Huda Shita. Listen to this. Esve Abaye. Sabai raises a kasha. Par v'sur shumi kippur. Listen to this. Very exciting. Par and sur shumi kippur sh'avdu. So we'll say, let's say you have this case. Remember again, these are two different karbanos. Par ultimately is, remember, parabosai is the individual sin offering of the Kohen Gadol. He brings that from his own money. So let's say, again, you had a par separated, you had a seer separated, and what happens? They were lost. They got lost. And therefore, v'hifrish achirim tachtein. And therefore, what did you do? You established another par, another seer. Similarly, v'chein seire avodah zara. So too, if you have an avodah zara seer. So parabosai, what is this referring to? If you look at Rashi, seer avodah zara, Sibor shechatu ba'avodah zara b'horas beizdin mevi'en par li olo sir lechatu. So we'll say, it's a very interesting case. If you have a situation of where the beizdin, the Sanhedrin, ruled a certain act permissible, and it turns out that the act they ruled permissible is avodah zara. Mistakes happen, right? So what happens? There's a special carbon that's brought, a two-seer carbon. One seer is brought as an ola, one seer is brought as a chatos. So same thing. Let's say the tzibur separated out their seer avodah zara, it gets lost. They go ahead and now they separate out other seerim. And what happens? Yivrei shachirim tachtein, kulon yamusu divrei Rabbi Huda. So we'll say now, again, the parentheses in this is, what happens? They separated animals to be offered up, par and seer for Yom Kippur, seer avodah zara. The animals get lost. They separate new animals and they offer those new animals. That's the chapa. They offer those new animals. Then what? Now you find the old one. So what do you do with the old ones? Rabbi Huda says, kulan yamus. Rabbi Huda, kulan yamusu. Excuse me. Kulan yamus de Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda says, they're all put to death. Rabosai, all put to death means what? Because remember, Shitas Rabbi Huda is what Rabosai? That whenever you have a chatos situation and a person has achieved atonement through another animal and then the first animal is found, Shitas Rabbi Huda is what? That the original found chatos is put to death. It's starved to death. That's what happens. And we couldn't remember, according to Rabbi Huda, that's true with an individual chatos, and it's true with what?
Community.
A communal chatos as well. So Rabbi Huda says, they're all put to death. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Yeirao ad shi yistamu, b'machor v'yipul dam l'nadava. And Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon disagree. They say, no, you don't put it to death, but you let the animals graze until they develop a mold, and then what? Sell them off and use the money for the Beis HaMikdash. Why? She'en chatos tzibor mesa. Because communal offerings are not starved to death. And I will say, what's the kasha? What's the kasha? Major kasha. Bam kasha. What's the kasha? Good. Right? The kasha is like this. What did Rabbi Yehuda just say before? What did Rabbi Yehuda say in the shekel case? In the shekel case, Rabbi Yehuda says, use it next year. So why don't we see over here? Now again, I will say, you can't really ask this on the Avodah Zorah ones, but there are better kashas on the Yom Kippur ones. Remember what happened in the Yom Kippur case? I separated out the seirim. I separated out a par. I lost them. I separated new animals, offered them up, and then I found my old ones. So why do the first ones have to be put to death? What can I do? Just use them next year for Yom Kippur. Okay, you have to watch them very carefully, guard them that they don't develop a mum, but just set them aside for next year. Why do you have to let them die? Look at Rashi, Kulan Yamus, the last Rashi in the Daf. Velo Amrino Nikrivu L'Shana Haba. So and yet Rabbi Huda doesn't say offer them the next year. Shabbos, it's a contradiction. By Shkolim, Rabbi Huda says, I could use the found half shekel, the lost half shekel that was now retrieved for next year's obligation. Why doesn't Rabbi Huda say the same thing over here by the animals for Yom Kippur? I'm sorry? Tircha with what? With watching them the whole year. There's a lot of, that's called being Jewish. Being Jewish. That's the best you got, see? Come on. All right, so I'm sorry, you shouldn't have lost them. There you go. So look at this. Amrlei, Samechem and Beis. Amrlei, Karbanos, Tzibor Kamret. No. It's apples and oranges, I will say. You're talking about Karbanos, Tzibor. Karbanos, Tzibor, Rashi says, Haboin, I did you a little bit of disservice in telling you this case because I spilled a little bit of the beans on this. So you'll have to, excuse me. It would have been a lot more exciting if I didn't tell you about the par, but I'm sorry, I ruined it a little bit. So listen to this. So it says the Gemara, Karbanos, Tzibor, Ka'amret. No, it's apples and oranges, right? Why? Because the case over that we just spoke about are communal offerings. And therefore, look at Rashi, Karbanos, Tzibor, Haboin, Mitrumas, Halishka. Now, also the definition of a communal offering is that it comes from communal funds. Shiny Karbanos Sibar. Karbanos Sibar are different. Why? Kid Rabbi Tevi Am Rabbi Yoshia. Why? Don Rabbi Tevi Am Rabbi Yoshia. Amakra. Zos Olas Chodesh Bichodsho. When the Torah says, true, this is talking about Rosh Chodesh, but the Torah says, Zos Olas Chodesh Bichodsho. This is the Ola of the Chodesh in its month. And I will say, obviously, that is repetitive Lashon. Zos, what do we learn from there? Amra Torah. Chadesh. V'havei li truma chadosh, mitruma chadosha. So we'll say, listen to this. The Gemara understands, or I should say, Rabbi Tevi and Rabbi Yosha understands that Zos Olas Chodesh Bechadsho means that whenever you're dealing with communal offerings must always be brought with new funds. Zos Olas Chodesh Bechadsho, chadesh, literally renew, make it new. V'havei li karbon. Mitruma chadasha, bring me a carbon from the new monies. So Bosa, therefore, the Gemara says the idea of going ahead and using animals that were set aside this year for Yom Kippur and using them next year will not work. Why? Because this year's carbonos came from which monies? Came from this year's monies. To go ahead and use them next year would then ultimately not have them coming from new monies, but rather from old monies. So the Gemara says, 1 second.
The stone that I left over to next year, are those really new money?
Who cares?
Because that's the money that's going to be used to buy the Korban Sibor.
You're saying according to Rabbi Huda?
Yeah, if I can leave over Shekelim and have them for next year, right, because they were not extra this year, but because I paid twice this year, that's not really next year's money. It's kind of
This would not do with Rabbi Huda. Correct. This does not work with Rabbi Huda's sheet about the Shekelim. That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Hatinach soyer par ma'ikalimera. So we'll say that argument works very nicely. That's why this is where I ruined it for you a little bit. That works very nicely for the seir, right? Right? Because the soyer is what? The soyer is a communal offering. But the par is the kohen's own offering. So the Gemara is suggesting is fine. You know what? You don't. We could divide the two. Let's say the soyer, I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to use it next year. But at least the par, right? Put aside the par till next year. And what? Use that. Because remember, this idea, Rabbi Osai, of Rabbi Tevi in the name of Rabbi Yoshia, that karbanos have to come from new funds is only a din in what? Karbanos sibor. Karbanos sibor. But a karban yochid you can set aside for use for next year. So at least let the par be reusable for next year. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Gzera par atu soyer. There's a concern. What's the gzera? The concern is that if we put aside the par for next year, then what are you going to do? You're going to put aside the sarzo. Because Emro said, this is a very logical gzera. Why? Because what we're saying is, remember, we look at all of this together as the Yom Kippur service. So once we're putting aside one animal of the Yom Kippur service, it's easy to think that you may inadvertently put aside the other. And again, putting aside the other would be halachically problematic. The Gemara says, 1 second. Umishum gezera yamusu. So now, are you going to, so also, let me get this straight. So you're going to tell me again, because of the gezera, that you, so also, what we're saying now, remember, in Rabbi Huda Shita, is what are you going to do with this par? What are you going to do with it? You're going to let it starve to death. So now you're going to tell me that because of the gezerah, you're going to let the animal starve to death. And I'm going to say, again, it's not an animal rights argument. What this really is a conservation of resources argument. What it's saying is, again, you know, it doesn't make sense. So because you have a concern that you may confuse, if you put aside the power for next year, which technically is legal, you may come to put the seir away for next year, which is technically illegal. So if you're going to let the power starve to death because of that, va'od, and I'm going to compound the kasha. Hadu Rabbi Tevi Amar Rabbi Yoshia, gufa mitzi, Rabosai. This is very important. This yisun that we just spoke about before, chodesh b'chodsho, that you should bring karbanos from new monies. What's the nature of that halacha? That's lechatchila, what the Gemara calls a mitzvah. When the Gemara used the verbiage of mitzvah, mitzvah means what? Mitzvah means such a lechatchila. But b'di'eved, you don't have to do it. Meaning what? The Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, karbanos tzibor ha-bo'in be'echad b'nisan, mitzvah lahavi minachodosh. So says Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, when you bring karbanos tzibor starting from the first of Nisan, I'm also why from the first of Nisan? Because first of Nisan is when all the half shkolim have to be in. So karbanos tzibor that come from the beginning, from the first of Nisan, it is a mitzvah to bring them from the new monies. V'im hevi min ayashan. But if you brought them from the old monies, yatsa. Old monies means last year's half shkolim. Yatsa. Ela shech yisra mitzvah. You're missing an lechatchila. So watch this. And now we really don't have a good argument. Because remember, the whole idea the Gemara wants to put forward was what? You can't use the seir. Why? Why? Because lemaisa, again, you can't use this year's seir for next year. Because next year's seir has to come from new money. And now what? And we're going to put the power to death also. Why? Because if we set aside the power, you may come to use the seir. The Gemara says it makes no sense. Because the whole notion of not using the seir is only a din lechatchila. Meaning, b'di'evet, it should work. So to tell me that I'm not going to use the par, because you may come to use the sa'ir, which in and of itself is only a din l'chatchila, not b'di'evet, is a stretch. Elo, you're right. Elo, Rami Zera. But the other Rabbi Zera says, Rabosa, remember, again, keep in mind what we're trying to figure out over here. We're trying to reconcile the shittos of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda held by half shekel, that if you find the half shekel that you lost, then what can you do with it? Credit it towards next year. And yet, Rabbi Huda says that if you lost your power and your sar of Yom Kippur, that you can't use it for next year. So we're trying to understand why that is. So now, take two. The Gemara is going to give another possibility. I'm Rabbi Zera. I'll tell you why. Lefi shein hagora koveya mishana lechaverta. Oh, this is very interesting. Because unless I remember, what's the case over here? The case over here is that you lost your two seirim. I remember Rabosai, when did you, it has to be this way. When did you lose the two seirim? It has to be after the Goral. Why? Why? Because if it was before the Goral, the truth is this whole case doesn't come up. If it's before the Goral, it's nothing. Yeah. Nothing. So what happens? This is very interesting. So what happens? You lost your two seirim after the Goral. Okay? So now what does that mean? One was Lashem, one was Lazozel. So you want to say, okay, let's put them aside for next year. So the Gemara suggests, well, no, the Goral does not work from year to year, right? So meaning the Goral that you did this year will not work for next year. So the Gemara says, okay, so what's the big deal? Vinay say vinagril. So why don't you just go ahead and do another Goral next year? So the Gemara says, no, gzeirus shemayomru ha-goral kovea mishana lechaverta. People aren't necessarily aware of all the details. And what may they think? They may not realize that you did another Goral on number two. And they may assume that what? That the Goral that you did from last year ultimately works in this year as well. I want to point out something very interesting. You know, we already see, by the way, and we already seen that there is some level of confusion with what happened with certain services in the Beis HaMikdash. There, we saw this again, right? We saw testimony from two Kohanim Gidolim who did two different things during their service in the Beis HaMikdash. So there is, so the Gemara is saying we have to be very careful not to create, not to allow for practices that will create sacrificial rite confusion. So therefore, the Gemara says, setting aside these two animals, you're right, can we use the two seer next year? We can. We can. We just have to what? You just have to do another goral. But the concern is people may not realize we're doing another goral. They may think we're using the same goral, and therefore we're not going to use the seer. So the Gemara says, okay, let's say I accept that. Hatenach soyer. That only tells me what? That works well for why I can't use the seer of this year for next year. Par ma'ikal ameimar. But why can't they use the par? So Gemara says again, gzeira par atu soyer. Because we're concerned, that's what Rabbi Saigin, remember, we essentially treat the animals of the Yom Kippur service as a sacrificial unit, bless you. And therefore, again, if we let you set aside the par, you may come to what? You may come to set aside the soyer. So the Gemara says, 1 second, are you telling me? Umishum gzeira yamusu? Again, the Gemara says the same thing. Are you going to tell me now that because of the gzeira, that you may be, if we set aside the par, you may come to go ahead and use the seirim and not do another, or even if you do another girl, people may come. It's far-fetched. Therefore, because of all this, you're going to allow the par to die? So the Gemara says, and then I'll tell you why. Amru Rabbanu Kamei Dabai, here's the answer. Gzeira mishum chatos shemesu bailim. The Gemara says, you know, there's another reason you can't use the par. Why can't you use the parable? So what are we concerned about? We're concerned about the following. What happens if over the course of the year, the Kohen Gadol dies? Rabbi said, this is a significant concern. Now, if the Kohen Gadol dies, Rabbi said, then what happens? The replacement Kohen Gadol cannot use the par of the previous Kohen Gadol. Why? Because that's chatos shemesu ba'aleha. If you have a carbon that was separated to be a chatos, and the owner dies, that animal may not be offered. That's one of the five cases of an animal that's left to die, left to starve, right? The Gemara says like this. So I'm suggesting the following. I can't use the Se'irim because I need another Goral. And even if I do another Goral in year two, people may not realize I'm doing another Goral. Fine, that's the Se'ir. Why can't I use the Par? The power is a real concern because if the Kohen Gadol dies over the course of the year, they may inadvertently end up, if I set aside that power, they may inadvertently end up using that power for the new Kohen Gadol. And meanwhile, the new Kohen Gadol can't use that old power. So the Gemara says, Hatenach par. So that works for par. So I'm saying, actually, I'm sorry. Truth is, this is now a new answer. So the Gemara now is saying the reason you can't set aside the power is why? Because the mice of the Kohen Gadol may die. And if the Kohen Gadol dies, the new Kohen Gadol can't use the old power. So Gemara says, that works for a par. Soir ma'ika l'meimar. What about the seer? So the Gemara says, so it's very interesting. So the Gemara says, gzeira soir atu par. So I'm saying, now the Gemara flipped it. So now the Gemara says, you're right. The real takana, the real reason we can't set aside these animals is because of the par. Because we're concerned about creating a chatos shemesu ba'aleh circumstance. What about the seer? We're afraid that if we let you do the seer, if you let you set aside the seer, which again, Rabbi said, the Gemara suggested that maybe me'ikir adin, you can set aside the seer. All you have to do is what? Do another lottery. But we're concerned that if we let you set aside the seer, you may come to go ahead and set aside the back. Because Rabbi said, again, what keeps coming back is, despite the fact that these are different karbonos, they are looked at as a sacrificial unit since they are all part of the Yom Kippur Avodah. So the Gemara says, Elo mishum gezera yamusu. Are you really coming to tell me that because of this gzeira, we're going to put these animals to death? So the Gemara says, Elo, gzeira mishum, listen to this, Rabbi Osai. So the Gemara says, you know what, there's a more fundamental issue. Elo, gzeira mishum chatas sha'avra shnasa. To which the Gemara now says that, Lamaisa, there's another issue, which is, Rabbi Osai, the seir itself has to be within a year. And therefore there's a concern that if you go ahead and if you store the animal until next year, what could happen? The animal may be over a year. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? So the Gemara says, Ela gzeira mishum chatas sha'avra shnasa. Gzeira hi. What do you mean gzeira? Gufa chatas sha'avra shnasa hi. Havosai, there's not a gzeira that the animal may be a year old. Oh, maybe more than a year. The animal what? Will be over a year. So what's the Shiloh? So that's the Gemara saying, you know, now we're talking. Because now we begin to understand that Mamish is a real issue over here. To which the Gemara says, Holo Kasha. No. It also is very interesting. The Gemara says, it's not a Kasha. Why? Ki Rebbe. What does Rebbe say? Disanya. Shana Tamima. Shadra Wilson, listen to this. The Torah says over here, if you sell what's called Bate Arechoma. Bate Arechoma means homes in a walled city. So the halacha is, see, under normal circumstances, when you sell real estate, there is a certain amount of time that you have in order to, if I'm the seller, I'm the owner of the property, I'm selling it, there's a certain amount of time that I have to redeem my property. However, again, if you sell a home in a walled city, you only have 1 year after the purchase to redeem your home. If you do not redeem your home within that first year, then lemaisa again, it doesn't even return at Yovel. Right, it remains the property of the person who purchased it. Just as an aside, the Sefer HaChinuch brings down a very important, he says, why is that? Sefer HaChinuch explains that often walled cities were often border cities. They were cities that were on the border of Eretz Yisrael. That's because often cities within Eretz Yisrael itself were not necessarily walled. That's why Yerushalayim is an interesting anomaly by itself. But in general, walled cities were border cities. The Sefer HaChinuch says you can't have a high turnover of residents in walled cities. Why? Because walled cities are necessary for the security of the greater country, which means the residents have to know the terrain, the residents have to know the city, and the residents have to know each other, because they are the first line of defense against any type of infiltrating enemy. Therefore, says the Sefer HaChinuch, we want very little turnover. Therefore, if you sell, you've got 1 year to redeem, but if you don't redeem, lemaisa, it's done. So the Gemara says over here, Shana Tamima. So the halach is you have 1 full year. So the shaila is, what's a year? So the Gemara says, Mona Shalosh Meos Vishishim Bechamisha Yom Keminyon Yemos Hachama Divi Rebbe. Rebbe says, Rabosai, that a year is 365 days. Not necessarily 12, 365 days, Rashi says. Here, so Rebbe says, look at Rashi. Rebbe Homer Mona Shin Samech Yomim Bein Sheibru Beis Din Es Hashana Bein Shalom Ibruha. So he says you use a solar year, 365 days, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the Jewish calendar says. Leap year, not leap year, makes no difference. The Chachamim say, Mona Shneimasar Chodesh Miyom Miyom. The Chachamim say, no, we count 12 months. Hakol Kimo Sheisol Morning Yudbeis Chodesh Miyom Miyom Impshuti. Rabosa, again, what this would mean according to the Chachamim Rabosa is we count Miyom Miyom means 1 full year. Now, we'll say in a Shana Pshuta, not leap year, that's 12 months. Right. But in a Shana Mubaris, in a leap year, that would be 13 months. So again, you have Rebbe saying that Lamaisa again, it's, sorry?
You think
Shneimasar Chodesh in a Shana Pshuta. Okay. In a Shana Pshuta. So we'll say, so listen to this. Tapo Samech Vav. Now, we'll say, in the Sabra, what if it's a leap year? So again, right, I shouldn't say, he's first thing, regular year, 12 months. What if it's a leap year? In the Sabra, Nis Abra Lamocher. That extra month goes to the seller. So Rabosai, meaning that my year now is comprised, my year for redemption purposes is comprised of what?
13 months.
So Rabosai, so the Gemara suggests, Rabosai, that's what? So Rashi points out over here the following idea. Rashi points out that you could have a certain, and we'll see, the Gemara actually tomorrow will discuss this, that Rashi points out that you could have a circumstance where there are only 364 days that elapse between this Yom Kippur and next Yom Kippur. So because of that, you can technically have an animal that this year is within a year and next year is within a year. So because of that, again, it doesn't automatically. Also, I just want to point out something very interesting that I never, I have to thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to give this year, because it's something I never thought about before. When the Torah talks about an animal within a year, it's not really, it's really in, within a year. When does the year start? The year starts from 8 days and on. It's very, I never chapped this because I never understood, when I saw this, I never understood how it could be that animals within a year. By definition, it's always 8 days. No, the clock only starts from when the animal becomes sacrificially relevant or sacrificially able, which is only 8 days and on. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is, no, you can't automatically assume that from 1 year to the next, the animal, the seer becomes, the Basir becomes disqualified because it's more than a year. Because you can have a circumstance, depending on the calendar falls out, that you're within 364 days by the next Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, Hatenach Soir, Par Ma'ikal Meimar. So the Gemara says, okay, remember this whole concern, that the animal may be more than a year is only a concern by the Soir, right? The Par has no such limitation. So the Gemara says, Ma'ikal Meimar, Kuzei Rab Par, Atu Sayer. So the Gemara says, okay, because even if we let you put away the pyre for next year, what are we concerned about? That you may come to put away the Sayer as well. So the Gemara says, Mishum Gezera Yamos. But again, same question. So because of these Gezeros, you're going to let the animal die. Va'od Chatos Sha'avra Shanasa L'raya Azla. Furthermore, we'll say the Gemara says that if you have a Chatos that is now more than a year old, meaning a Chatos that was separated as a Chatos, but now a year has elapsed, and you have not offer the animal. We know what is the halacha with that type of animal. It's put out to graze. It's not killed. It's not starved. So the Gemara says, "Amrei Shlakish, Chatos Sha'avra Shnasa, Rowan Osakiila Hi Omedes of a Sakvara Sferoa." Because after all, Reish Lakish said that the Rebbe said, "If you have a carbon that was separated as for a Chatos, again within a year, but then you didn't offer it, and now a year has elapsed. So what do we do?" So interesting. Reish Lakish says, we see that animal as if it's grazing in, as if it's standing in the cemetery and grazing. And I will say, that's a metaphor for what? An animal that's simply off limits, right? The kohen can't go in and get it because it's in the Beis HaKavaras. And so essentially, we just let it be. So we see already that even if you want to go with the idea, that's what? That the reason I can't go ahead and offer up this Sawyer, I can't offer up this Sawyer, it's because if I set it aside, it may be more than a year by next year, and people may get confused and offer it. Even if that's true, the way to deal with that carbon then is not Yamos. The way to deal with that carbon is how? Is Yira. And therefore, Rav Osai, the Gemara leaves off with the Kasha. So again, the Gemara is going to try to resolve it. We're going to stop here for today. So I'm leaving you on a little bit of a cliffhanger. But just understand where you're holding. So we'll come in fresh tomorrow. What we're still trying to figure out is how to reconcile the two Shitos of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda by Shkolim seems to indicate that if you lose the half shekel of this year, and then I separated out another one and contributed that, and then I found my first half shekel, what do I do with it? It goes towards next year. So that seems to indicate that Rabbi Yehuda holds that by temple-related, sacrificial-related items, if you find that which you lost, you can use it for the next occasion. But yet, when it comes to the karbanos of Yom Kippur, Rabbi Yehuda says that if I lost my karbanos, I separated my karbanos, lost my karbanos, separated new karbanos, offered those karbanos, found the first set of karbanos, that's what? That I have to let them die. And we're trying to, again, the Gemara has now suggested four different ways of trying to answer this kasha. So far, none of them has been satisfactory. And Meretz Hashem will continue with more answers tomorrow.
So if you're walking through Jerusalem, Erev Yom Kippur, you see a pole in the garden, you know you got a problem.
Say that once more.
Walking through Jerusalem, you have kids, you see a pole in the garden, you know you got a problem.
You've got a problem.